Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. I hope you, I don't even know if enjoy is the right word. I hope you appreciate what we've done for you, you know, on our own dime. We have our co-host, Matt Goodwin. He is our co-host, our ace co-host with Blood River Radio. He is in South Africa. Let me tell you what, we pledged our life, our limb, our sacred honor, and our wealth. We have mortgaged everything to get this show. And, you know, we didn't name it Blood River Radio just for the heck of it. Matt's not over there in South Africa just for the heck of it. He's gone over there on his own dime, as you heard us say. Extremely emotional show tonight. Blood River Radio, we're doing it. We're doing everything we can. We were just saying that we pledged to take it away from the studios, to the streets, to the universities. We've done that. We were in Montgomery Bell at the end of June. We were in holy ground almost, Harrison, Arkansas, several weeks ago, last of August, Labor Day weekend, where we were treated like, you know, just Christian brothers we were. Matter of fact, we have one of the head honchos from the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan tonight. We have Rachel, but anyway, I just had to get that off my... Rachel, it was such a... How are you doing tonight, Rachel?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm really glad to be here with you tonight.
I'm glad you're here. We had a very, very emotional show. You know, Rachel, we started our show. The show came like... people may get tired of me hearing it, but it was a dream I had a little over a year ago, and I don't care... I hope people believe me. The name Blood River Radio came to me in a dream. And it was like an impossible dream, but we got this show going, and we named it Blood River Radio in honor of the Boer Trekkers, 1838, their battle on the Nkomo River, now since then called Blood River, because there was less than 500 white Christians stood off over 30,000 Zulus. Not one single Boer Trekker was killed, and they just made, it inflicted the greatest defeat on an army of that size, is, I guess, in history. But I'm not trying to keep going on plugging our show and plugging Blood River, but it was so emotional. Little Matt, a good one, he's like a son to me. I met him a little over 2 years ago in August. Matt Goodwin, Rich Hamblin, Gene Andrews, and Simon Roach, they picked me up in Cookeville, Tennessee. We went to Charlottesville together. I was up there it was my very first job as a newspaper reporter in the field with Liberty News Radio. Sam and James, we got together at Money and went up there, and that's how I met those guys. That's how I met Matt. And I recognized Matt instantly, just like I recognized you and your precious family instantly as being the real deal, being salt of the earth, good people. But we're so worried about Matt, and I kind of had a little slight emotional breakdown tonight, but I'm such an emotional person. But anyway, we also have tonight, you know, Rachel, we have a fellow here by the name of Lee Cochran. He's in with us tonight in the studio because he wanted to come in and listen to you. But you know what? I appreciate you so much coming on, Rachel. I really do. You're just the saltiest lady. I was telling my wife that what a brain, man, just a good country girl with a brain, too. And by the way, Rachel, give us, if you will, a little bio, and also do not leave out the fact that you're working on your doctorate. So give us a little biography of yourself. Don't hold back. Don't be modest.
Doing that, but that's just a long sideline. My passion is just working on behalf of our people, and as a mother of three and a grandmother of 10. I feel that is my natural duty, is to work on behalf of my family and, you know, my race and my nation, my faith. And that's what I was raised to do. My father, Pastor Thomas Robb, has been a longtime Christian Identity minister, you know, 50 years. Him and my mother met at a Christian Patriotic Bible School in Colorado back in the 60s. That was a school in operation, a college in operation, to help train people to fight communism. And so it had a very powerful influence on a number of people in this country. And through them, then me and my two brothers. And I like to point out that my very first activity was being carried on the back of my mother at 2 months of age as she protested the United Nations. And I always get a little chuckle out of that just because it's been something that's been ingrained in me. Now, if I was to say that to leftists, they would probably, the claws would come out and they would say, oh my God, here's another example of someone that was propagandized against and brainwashed and so forth. But the one thing I really appreciated about my family is that we're have a real passion for reading and for scholarship. And so, you know, my parents did not restrict me from my reading material. They were fully confident that given the choice, an intelligent person cannot do otherwise if looking at all the evidence but to support white Christianity, to support the preservation of white people. And so I've always enjoyed studying the opposition, learning from them, learning their strategies and techniques, but also just becoming more and more aware of their tremendous fallacies that unfortunately engulf so much of the majority, not just in this country, but in other countries abroad, that somehow has facilitated the demise of white people. And so I just, you know, I'm real fortunate to have come up in a family like that. And, you know, my entire family, you know, we're activists, we're writers, we're speakers, we're organizers. Our entire family culture from, you know, even going back to my great-great-grandmother in Canada, who was very instrumental in passing down her beliefs. She was a young widow, but she, you know, we've got copies of old leaflets that she would make up on an old mimeograph of the destruction caused by interracial relationships. And she would mail these out to mayors and provinces in Canada and so forth. And so that just kind of became like a history of our family. And that was just passed down. And I just, you know, I'm real proud of those roots. And, you know, I think there was a lot of families like that in America at one time, in Canada, other places. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of people let their guard down, and you have to be vigilant. You can't ever, you know, take a moment off. You know, there's not a such thing. I've heard sometimes people say, you know, in the movement, you know, growing up, well, you know, it's winter time. If it's an organization that is, you know, primarily about demonstrations, they might say, well, the winter time, we're kind of in a recess now, or this or that, you know, and I understand that, but, you know.
Rachel, we got to go to a break. I'm sorry, Rachel, we have to go to a break because the music coming. Rachel, we'll be right back, honey. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, but we'll be right back after this break, people. Hang on to your seats.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting for it.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back, and I really don't believe in luck. You know, I believe in you make your own luck. I mean, for instance, if you're shooting craps, like I used to do it a lot, I mean, you know, how many times the seven is going to come up, what the odds are, what the odds are for the five and the nine, and the six and the eight, et cetera, et cetera. So we make our own luck with people like the Robb family and Rachel, who has worked her guts out to get where she is today. But Rachel, getting back to you, I'm going to tell just a quick. I tried to get my wife to come on the air to tell. I wanted her to speak to you. She's shy, but I'm going to tell a quick story how she got woke. Back in the day, she would have thought I was a little bit hardcore, but let me tell you what happened to her. She grew up in a family with four. I thought they were all beautiful. You know, I couldn't make up my mind which one to marry. Finally, just flipped a coin and picked her. But she won. Can you believe that? But anyway, four really, really good looking. I mean, they were really fine teenage girls. And they grew up what used to be an all-white neighborhood. Well, the blacks started moving in. What do you know? Surprise, surprise. The black men from all ages started coming down the streets. And in South Memphis, where it's totally black now, they never came in the neighborhood without. In those days, you didn't hear so much gunfire. It was clubs, sticks, rocks, bricks, and they were always forever dragging chains. Well, she couldn't get out of the house, and she went to a private school. It was a Catholic school. It was the only private school in that area. The whole family went there. It got so bad that the nuns would have to escort the girls out to the bus stop because other blacks, girls and boys, would come by with broken bottles, you know, using for knives, chains, rocks, mm-hmm. etc. So they lost the school. The school had to shut down. So they moved to a better part of South Shelby County. And, you know, but before they moved, three of the girls, my wife, her sister, and both two of her sisters were in South Memphis while their dad was inside a furniture store. And a group of black guys came along to try to, you know, tell them what they were going to do to them. They're going to rape them all, this kind of crap. When the dad came outside with an upholstery business, he had a nice little carpet knife. And so even though he was an older guy and he had this one little carpet knife, they didn't want any part of that knife. And the last story, how she got finally woke for sure. We were both real young. My youngest daughter, who's now 49, we were in a park. And when we got to the park, there was kids and adults, you know, their parents flying model airplanes, playing soccer, all these fine family activities. It was just like a movie, like a nightmare movie. Within five minutes, all the whites just evaporated out of there. And I was running, you know, I've always been a big runner. And I was probably 400 yards away from my wife and my oldest daughter then was about three, my youngest was one, and they got totally surrounded by 20 or 30 black males, and they told her they were going to rape her. Well, what I didn't know was my dad had given her this little bitty tiny 22 pistol. It was a Beretta. It only held seven shots, but nobody wanted to be number one and nobody wanted to be number seven. I went down there. I didn't even know she had the pistol, but she was scared to death. But she didn't show any fear at all until she got away from there. I told her just to go on, get back to the truck. I would hold them off as long as I could. I wasn't going to last long because I was outnumbered 15, 20, 30 to 1. But she says, well, would you like to have this right here? It was a 22 pistol. I felt like I'd just been pardoned by the president. We're just getting ready to pull the electric switch into that chamber. And I was pardoned. But anyway, she's thoroughly woke now, Rachel. And I want her to tell the story because she's a lot better than I am. But I didn't want to take up too much of your time. You know, Rachel, the other day, oh, by the way, before I forget, I know it may be ahead of time, but we're going up, the Knights are going to have another conference, another family outing, I believe. Is it the last weekend of April, Rachel, or you may not know yourself?
Well, it used to be the last weekend of March, and then here about a year or two ago, we changed it because the Ozarks are beautiful with all their spring colors, and we thought, well, it's real disappointing that people come out just 2 weeks before all the leaves bud out on the trees. So we changed it. I'm pretty sure it's the first weekend of May, but don't take me at word for that. It could be the last weekend of April, because like I said, we did it one way for like 20 years, and then we decided the last minute to change it. So, but people can, you know, they can call our national office and or check our websites for the dates and so forth.
Rachel, if you will, please give your website. If you're like me, maybe you can't remember it, but give the audience your website and how they get in touch with you for any information.
It's super, super easy to remember. It's KKK.com.
I think even I can remember that. I really, really do.
And
I
have the super easy.
Lee, even Lee has a better memory than I have. Well, I'm telling you flat out, God willing, you know, God's in the control. If God willing, us Blood River guys will be there again for invitation. If y'all don't turn against us, if we're not too, you know, people don't like to associate with Blood River because we're considered really radical. You know, we really are. As a matter of fact, Rachel, to be truthfully honest, y'all seem a little bit too passive for me, and y'all are too sweet and too nice. So, you know, I went up there. I'm a hellraiser, they say. Even Sam says I'm a hellraiser. But Sam says that there's still hope for me to be, you know. he says I'm not beyond redemption.
We have a conference, you know. It's all about, you know, camaraderie between white brothers and sisters. And so I think that, you know, one of the unfortunate things is that any type of movement, there's infighting, and we just don't have that at our conferences. It's leave your differences at the door. These events are for the family, for moms and dads and grandparents and kids and singles and teens, and we just want an atmosphere of reconciliation between white people. And, you know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, and we cannot let the enemy divide us. We cannot become their tools. We have to unite, and I don't mean unite under a common banner, but unite by just the fact that people work to get along. And if you don't get
Amen.
Along,
I'll second
leave,
that.
Leave each other alone. That's the best. Just good old-fashioned, you know, good old-fashioned country advice. So.
Well, y'all practice it better up there than any place I've ever seen, and the most loving environment I've ever seen. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm always training like a racehorse. I run all these marathons. Mm. Man, I tell you, I couldn't get enough of that biscuits and gravy I made. Lord have mercy, it was delicious. Woo-wee.
Isn't the best ingredient to foster a good running regimen in the morning. But, you know, we are in the northern part of the South, but we do like our biscuits and gravy. So
you got that right, sister. You got that right. You know, Rachel, you and I, your knowledge base is second to none. We were talking the other day about the war between the states. Mm-hmm. And we have, and Lee loves the subject here. We talked about Robert E. Lee made the statement. He said that had the North under Lincoln, mm-hmm. had the Federalist, the central government, had they obeyed the Constitution, or followed the Constitution, that there would never been a war. You know, we have people, I even have my brothers that say, oh, the Constitution's a failed document and all this kind of stuff. And I say, well, if that's true, then the Bible's a failed document because we have the Bible, but yet we still have sinners. People are still sinning. We have the Bible. So the Bible's a failed document if the Constitution's a failed document. But we were saying that Robert E. Lee, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Stonewall Jackson, all these people agreed uh-huh. that the war that the South was fighting to defend the Constitution, and I'm throwing that bone out there. I want you and Lee to kind of chew on that bone. Mm. So, Rachel, I want you to take off, respond to my question, and Lee is chomping at the bit because he considers himself somewhat a constitutionalist myself. So go ahead, Rachel. take off with that.
Well, you know, I'm a real respecter of, you know, all of the great men of the Confederacy. One of my favorites, of course, was the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. And when he was when he gave his resignation.
Uh-oh. I went to, hey, hold on, Rachel. Don't lose that thought. When we come back, tear right into it. People, we got to go to a quick break. We get to listen to this beautiful music, and we'll be right back. We're going to hear the wonderful one and only Rachel. Right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Trump signed a temporary government-wide funding bill that staves off the risk of a government shutdown through November 21st. The measure buys additional time for lawmakers to continue to work to unclog a $1.4 trillion bundle of yearly spending bills that is hung up amid fights over Trump's border wall and abortion. Those measures face a variety of obstacles, and it's not clear when Congress will pass them. The bill passed by the Senate at an 82-15 vote. Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg said she doesn't understand why grown-ups and world leaders would mock children and teens for acting on science, responding to attacks on her campaign as students conducted a second wave of global protests demanding action on climate change. When asked about U.S. President Donald Trump and others who have mocked her, the 16-year-old activists say they likely feel their worldview and interest are being threatened by climate activism. Thanks for listening. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska, but then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Another massive pro-democracy rally in downtown Hong Kong ended early after violence broke out, with police firing tear gas and water cannons after protesters threw bricks and Molotov cocktails at many government buildings. The violence was a familiar scene that's been repeated since protests for democratic reform started in early June in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. It also came 3 days before a major march is planned on the day that China celebrates its 70th anniversary of the Communist Party taking power, sparking fears of bloody clashes that could embarrass Beijing. Organizers said over 300,000 people attended the rally. Overshadowed by larger concerns this year, the war in Syria got attention at the UN as challenges posed by conflicts, poverty, inequality, and climate emergencies continue to dominate world leader speeches. The UN is hoping that the recent creation of a committee that would draft a new Syrian constitution will put the country back on track for a political solution. This is USA Radio News.
Oh,
Well, people, we're right back. I would have jumped in sooner, but Lord knows I love that music. I handpicked that song myself. Matter of fact, I heard it, much to my delight, I heard that song being played when we were up in Harrison with our dear brothers in the Knights. And I said, they copied our song, man. But anyway, before we go right back to Rachel, I got to make a quick comment on our commercials. We had a commercial. They were talking about climate change, these airheaded, empty-headed teenagers that are supposed to lecture people like us about climate change. I know what I tell them. I tell them in Midtown, I'll tell them, well, if you really feel that way, all you got to do is turn utilities off. Disconnect your electricity and your gas from the Memphis City, light, gas, and water. That's right. And listen, to heck with your you know, these hybrid cars. No, I say no car at all. Park it in the wall, because no matter what you drive, it's going to use gasoline. Another thing I'd like to comment on that Lee just, and I'm going to shut up and go back to y'all. Talking about, you know, the police are starving here in Memphis. We need more police. What I would say this, the city and county government needs to give tax breaks to people, especially women, that will be willing to go and get certified with handguns, and then give them a tax break as to buying handguns. That's my comment on the news.
Absolutely.
Now, Rachel, if you will, go back to what you were talking about the Constitution of the South and stuff like that. And then when you get through, Lee is absolutely chomping the bit. He's been studying the Constitution forever. So well, go ahead.
You've already mentioned like so many things throughout the show that I'd like to comment on. But
well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm a blubber man.
Blood River Radio, it brings up, you know, remembrances, the fact that our people can prevail against great odds. The climate girl, you know, shame on them for using young kids as pawns in their globalist game. Love the idea about rebates and tax incentives for women carrying guns. But back to the Constitution and the Confederacy. You know, one thing, as I mentioned, was that, you know, I'm very respectful of Jefferson Davis. And when he was resigning from his Senate seat in 1861, he told the people there in the chamber, he said that we're about to be deprived in the Union of the rights which our fathers bequeathed to us. And he said that he holds for peaceful relations, that we must part, and then the fact that, you know, this, you know, our forefathers had set up something great for us. And, you know, they weren't fighting against the Constitution. They were very saddened that the Constitution had been usurped by those who had a different agenda for the country. And, you know, I believe sincerely that, you know, one of the major causes of the war was that they wanted a return to the rights that their forefathers, that the founders of the country, you know, these United States, rather than the United States, that the founders of this country, this federation, had set out to safeguard for them, and it was being usurped. And they had no other recourse than to separate themselves and to work and strive to retain those rights.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, I was reading about, this was the, during Fort Sumter, you know, they were building up to Fort Sumter, and Lincoln was going to compromise, but then a lot of the radical governors came to town with Thaddeus Stevens and told him, you don't compromise, because we've been waiting for like 20 years to get in power, and when we're out of power, we talk about the Constitution, and when we're in power, we forget about that. We want to centralize power, share the gravy train. And so this was a conference. I never read this before, but it was in the historical papers of the Southern Historical. So I want y'all could look that up too. Uh-huh. It's under the causes touching on the origin of the war by Robert Louis D.A.B. Darby, by Colonel John B. Baldwin. And see, Virginia, they were waiting to see if Virginia wasn't going to secede. And they told Lincoln, don't just let these seven states go in peace temporarily, and we will hold the upper South if you abide by the Constitution. And then they Lincoln said, you came too late because the governors have already gave you an ultimatum to give it to the South. So it's really a big, big lie about this slavery issue.
Right, right, absolutely. You know, slavery has been very unfortunate for white people. It set the wealthy against the middling class. Basically is another form of illegal immigration, except that it was sanctioned. So slavery did far more harm to the white population of the South than it ever did to the black race. And, you know, to say that the, other than the fire eaters, to say that the war was fought over slavery is ridiculous. We had just come out of a war separating ourselves from Great Britain. The people were rightly very concerned about their rights, about usurpation by central powers and authorities. This is a long conversation, but we cannot neglect the fact that there were powerful financial interests in Carolinas, among the Jewish financial establishment, as well as on the East Coast. And that brings into the Rothschilds and the Bank of London. So white people seem to be pawns in the snares of international Jewish finance. And, you know, just like the title of the radio show, Blood River Radio, if you follow the money and follow the blood trail, you're going to find Jewish finance behind much of the calamity that is affecting our people.
Every single time. I've got two little quick points. I'm going to respond to you and Lee, then we'll go right back to y'all. I'm not going to read the entire Declaration of Independence, but if you look, it's, you know, we all know that we assume that, you know, that God has made all of us, and we have certain rights, you know, life, the rights of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and, you know, and all the rest of them too, really. And it goes on to say that whenever, then the reason government was made was to protect, secure those rights. And the key point here is that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. So they in the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, we have the right to abolish or, you know, fix the government. If you can't fix it, to abolish it. Also, you know, there was a Lincoln himself proposed a constitutional amendment. He told the South, he said, listen, we will get a constitutional amendment that prohibits the central government from interfering in slavery in any state that's currently practicing slavery. You can maintain your slaves. We don't care if you have slaves. We don't care about those blacks. If you will just stay in the Union and continue to fund, the South was funding, you know, the lion's share of the taxes maintaining the entire nation, plus the North, the central government, say the North, the central government, they also wanted to slap humongous tariffs on the South. And, for instance, if you had, you know, the Acme Shovel Company based, you know, in like, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, they wanted to sell shovels for three times the price what they were making them and shipping them over here from England. So the South. The South, if it's all about slavery, the South could have just, okay, yeah, pass that amendment. We're good to go. So this is the two points I want to make. And now, Rachel, I'm going to go right back to you, and I'm going to throw that bone out there. Let you chew on that bone, and then and when you're chewing on it, let old Lee chew on that bone a little bit.
Right.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, you know, one thing that has become somewhat fashionable among many today, both those that may be in some segments of Christian identity and also some Southern secessionists or supporters or Confederates, whatever you want to call it, I count myself in the both of those camps. But that is that, you know, the Constitution was basically a worthless document. We needed to return to the Articles of Confederation and so forth. And, you know, this idea of a total disregard, a disrespect for the founders of the Constitution and of this republic really comes from a far-left establishment. The New School for Social Research was established in Greenwich Village, New York, in 1919, and it was headed by Charles Beard, John Dewey, James Robinson, and Thorstein Veblen. And Charles Beard, who was a co-founder, he wrote an economic interpretation of the Constitution, and he claimed basically the Constitution was just a scheme by a bunch of rich, wealthy, white Northerners. And he actually was a co-founder, along with Veblen, an admirer of Karl Marx. They were all humanists. They ultimately created the Students for a Democratic Society.
Uh-oh, we got to go to, hey, I want you to come back to the SDS. As soon as we come back from this commercial, Rachel, you hit on a hot topic. We'll be right back, people.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Okay, people, we're right back to this. After this break, we're going to go right back to Rachel. And I tell you what, we have so many topics with this wonderful lady. We'll have to have her back on. But Rachel, with my own brain, I had forgot what you talked about. But you know, everything, every little detail. But you're right on top of it. What you're talking about, Rachel, kind of fits in with what you and I talked about the other day on the phone about communism, national socialism. Communist socialism, progressive socialism, you know, would you like to take off? Would you like to go back and talk about what you're talking about? Would you like to take off
sure,
of communism?
Sure. Well, you know, I was talking about the disdain for the Constitution that
correct.
Not only the left has, but it's also being promoted among the right, among just good patriotic Christians, and that is that the The founders of the Constitution were just a bunch of elitist, wealthy landowners, didn't care about the people. They undid all the protections of the Article of Confederation, and that the Declaration of Independence, because of the verbiage used, we the people, basically sets up an idle government that comes as being an idea that's been heavily promoted. And I just wanted to remind people that you know, this undermining of the Constitution and of our founding fathers really comes out of the communist or socialist school of historical thought in the U.S. And one of those was the New School for Social Research. It currently still is in operation with 11,000 students. It was co-founded by John Dewey of the Dewey Decimal System, Charles Beard, Thorstein Veblen. These were all men who were admirers of Karl Marx. And Leon Trotsky, John Dewey was elected president of the League of Industrial Democracy, later changed his name to Students for a Democratic Society, signed the Humanist Manifesto. These are hallmarks. These are men who have been well established in the educational system in America and have been adept at removing any type of respect for our founding fathers. I mean, In Soul on Ice, the Negro author of that mentioned that one of the things that white people have had happen to them is that they have lost, Eldridge Cleaver, author of that, that one of the things that white people have suffered is that they've lost their heroes. And so we have people in our educational establishment, specifically in the historical departments, that have neglected, not just neglected, but they have undermined and have revolutionized the education in this country to turn white people against their own people, to turn them against the founders of this country, to create disunion. I mean, why the hell would you want to fight for something that is ridiculed, that is just terrible, that undermines you, that is a part of your past failure? I mean, why do you want to fight for something like that? And so they have undermined our entire educational establishment. They have literally turned millions of white people into basically communist sympathizers, as we see the right continues to march more and more to the left. I mean, the right today would be communist 60 years ago. It's absolutely ludicrous. But we as a people and a movement and a cause have to be on guard. We cannot allow ourselves to get caught up in the plan or agenda. So to fight against the Constitution, to fight against the founding fathers, to fight and say, no, this wasn't founded as a Christian country, if we do that, we're standing lock, stock, step, and barrel right in line with the communists who have set out to destroy us from the beginning.
Rachel, you're on fire, young lady. I tell you what, you're absolutely amazing with this discourse you've been coming up with. You know what, Rachel, what you've described and what I've thought about it myself, with the vast number of white people in this country that hate themselves, that, you know, the people, we call them conservatives, I think they're suffering from almost, they're almost suffering from like Stockholm syndrome.
Absolutely.
They're starting.
Right.
They're identifying. Go ahead, Rachel, go ahead.
No, yeah, just you're right. They're identifying with their captives. They see no other alternative self-preservation than to identify with those that actually wish to destroy them. And that's where we as a people and as a movement have to break through that kind of enslavement that our people are in mentally. And we have to step through, and that's why, you know, at the start of the show you mentioned the love and almost passivity that you saw at our conference. You know, our people, the enemy of our people, the SPLC, the ADL, the globalists and so forth, they are not scared of individuals that talk a tough talk. And I'm not saying like a tough talk like there's anything wrong with that, but those that really talk with a tone of violence and so forth, they're scared of people who make sense, who talk sense, who show a Christian love and compassion for their people, who aren't just the type that want to, you know, hole off in a cave somewhere and prep for themselves and the hell with the rest of white humanity. They're scared of people that can make sense to the common man and woman on the street, the family, the salt of the earth, the gun loving, Bible thumping, middle America, the flyover country. They're scared of people that can make sense to those people because they know that within that population lies the seeds of revolution. And that's what we need in this country is a revolution of thought, a revolution of education, a revolution of family, and a revolution of idealism where we say we will not bend to those masters anymore and we will stand up and we'll lead our family as the children of Israel did and say that we will obey God and we will preserve our people. We will procreate kind after kind and we will have no alien rule over us.
Wow. I'm getting an education. Me and Lee are getting an education here. You know, I would also like to repeat to our audience. So this lady here, she is Miss Rachel, what would be your position with the Knights?
National organizer and just anything that can get done, I'll try to get in there and do it.
Man, I tell you what, you're on fire tonight, young lady. I would like to also say, now you just heard this lady speak, much more eloquent than me or even Lee. And there's not a mean bone in her body, but here's what she's saying. She loves herself more than she loves this black person in her classroom. She actually loves her parents more than she loves someone else's parents. She might not hate the other person's parents, but she likes her own parents better. She loves her own parents more. And I like to also say, let me tell you a little bit, just a tad bit of history with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan while I have time. And I'm just going to go over, just barely touch on it because Rachel knows much more about it than I do. But I was talking to Jason, Rachel's brother, and really, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan was probably the first white civil rights organization. It was organized after the end of Lincoln's war against the South, when white women were being raped in the streets in broad daylight. We were put in under subjugation under a Negro government, and they were taught, even the ones that did not hate white people, were taught to despise white people by their Jewish masters, who cared not one whit about these blacks. Old men were being hung in broad daylight. Young boys were being just brutalized. There was a complete breakdown of law. Well, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan came along and turned that around. I don't know the exact years. They probably had it turned around by the 1870s, maybe, and along about 19, I'm going to say Rachel knows better than I do, around 1915, 1920. If you were a white male, you almost had to be in the Ku Klux Klan if you wanted to be anybody, anywhere in government. If you wanted to be a congressman, what have you, you had to be in the Klan. Everybody knew it was a white Christian organization. And these people are right now, these days, fighting for you people out there, you poor people out there, even these so-called fence sitters who I cannot stand, these meek, mild people who always say, oh, do whatever you do, don't mention my name. You know, they're fighting for all of you, and they're catching all the flack. They're having all this verbal garbage thrown on them from the media and from their own people, that have been in the stock, that have been Stockholm have Stockholm syndrome, you know. And she mentioned the Thorndike, the John Deweys, the devil John Dewey. And you know what? I remember all too well SDS when I was a teenager, right before I got drafted, and the Weathermen. They were the most vile, Satan worshiping communist people in the world. They hate white people. They hate Christians. So, Rachel, you're right on fire. I'm going to shut up. We only have about another minute and a half to go, Rachel. Is there anything you would like to comment on?
Close with this is, you know, there's a lot of history to the Klan. We are not trying to reinvent the wheel. We believe that the Klan saved the South at one time. The Klan was very instrumental in preserving a Christian European identity in the North, South, East, and West back in the 20s and 30s. And even though the name of the Klan has become marginalized, that's not correct, it hasn't become marginalized, it's become maligned. The fact is the name KKK or Ku Klux Klan is the very benchmark that all white groups are compared to. And there's a lot of baggage with it, but we believe with the right strategy in the long run, when push comes to shove, It's a name that the American people will remember and will love.
Well, we're totally out of time now, Rachel. I would just like to close with this comment. Now you know why people on the left and some on the right even hate the Constitution, because without the First Amendment, we would not have people like Rachel on our show. There's a lot of people who would like to shut us down because we have the dirty old Klan on the show, but we have the First Amendment right, and Rachel just proved you people out there, you haters, to be liars and haters. God bless you people. Please tune in next week. On the first hour, we'll have Matt back on, and I don't know who's going to be on the second hour. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being on tonight. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, all the listeners. God bless you. Same time, same place next week. God willing. Good night.